Well, hello out there. Adam Lepp here with the Adam the Computer Guy radio program and mid-morning coffee break with Adam as I have my coffee. Always put a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg and, of course, three Splendas in the 16-ounce cup that I use to consume said beverage. I tell you, on the eighth day, God created coffee. He had radio announcers in mind, knowing that you have to stay alert and sometimes makes me a little bit hyper, but that's okay. Allows me to project my whatever semblance of dulcet tones that I have and provide interesting news, information, opinions, and, of course, a little bit of comedy and sarcasm for you right here from our studio, WWGH Radio, the talking place. So what do we do on this program, you might ask? Well, I do ramble, but that's part of the fun. We make some wisecracks, tell a joke or two, talk about current events, and the main focus would be news from the world of technology and innovations, as my day job relates to providing computer support and managing servers and websites and fun stuff like that. We also talk about quirky or unusual news stories. If you like that kind of thing, be sure to listen to the Nate Redmond program every Wednesday afternoon, because he also has unusual and often comical news, plus he also gives away prizes. You might actually like that show better because he gives away stuff. I don't really give away anything other than the knowledge that you may receive from tuning in. Of course, it will probably tickle a funny bone or two, so I guess that's one of the added advantages. But we like to look at some of the lighter side of the news at this station. World is kind of serious right now and a lot of stuff that isn't very good. So lightening things up, as I say, humor and laughter, those are the best medicine, no question whatsoever. I've always lived by that philosophy. We get together every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 Eastern Time, and Tuesday and Thursday, 2:13 p.m. until 3 Eastern Time in the afternoon. On Monday, we follow the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears himself, after the top of the hour features, news, weather, and other interesting and important informative tidbits, you get to listen to me. So please do stay tuned. I promise you this will be a show worth listening to. You'll learn something. You might laugh. You might even swear at your radio a couple times because I can be a bit controversial, as I'm sure you know. Also, the Mike Wilson program every Monday afternoon. He has interesting guests and also wisecracks. Mike's a punster and a wordsmith, a lot like myself. Always good conversation. Mike is a walking encyclopedia of the Morrow and Marion County areas also, and often talks to other folks who have a lot of knowledge about those places. Here's a positive news story. Again, all the negativity. Let's talk about something positive. We're a young person, very smart young person, someone whose IQ is probably twice mine, in fact, is going to better the world. It's to go to Irvine, California. 23-year-old biomedical engineering student. She has a great name, too. Judith Guiraud-Binet. I may not be pronouncing that right, but it's something very close to Judith Guiraud-Binet. She has dual residences in Tarragona, Spain, and Irvine, California. So what did she do? 23-year-old biomedical engineering student. Again, somebody with more than likely a lot more in the brain cell department than I do. She's one of two first-place winners in the 2020 James Dyson Award, which was announced in late November. Her invention aims to help women around the world afford the cost of early testing for breast cancer. She captured the prize, and $35,000, so no small potatoes there at all. She developed the Blue Box, an at-home reusable breast cancer screening device. Her mother's diagnosis of breast cancer inspired her to find an affordable and effective screening mechanism. Her experience with a dog at the University of Spain at Barcelona, where she first started studying biology, sparked her interest to find the biological code for detecting cancer. The dog could smell a patient's breath and detect if the patient had lung cancer. They tell you that dogs have pretty good senses of smell. That's quite fascinating. You can actually, well, I can't, but any dogs who are listening, my hat goes off to you because, according to this young scientist, Judith Guiraud-Binet, with a great name, dogs can potentially smell a patient's breath and detect if the patient had lung cancer. She said that piqued my interest in studying how the dog's biology could do this. Amazing what dogs, how they can better society. We have the police dogs and how they can sniff out for drugs or missing people. Now we have a dog who could possibly detect cancer from his or her nose. Fascinating as well as important. So her experience where her dog could possibly detect cancer by the nose led her to a program of biomedical study at the University of California at Irvine. There, she met a professor and worked with a colleague who became her mentor on the Blue Box research and development. She said, "I believed this device is something that the world needed. I refused to stop until the world told me otherwise." In fact, it's been a very good year for the James Dyson Award. They have financially supported 250 promising inventions from young engineers and scientists around the world. Despite the current problems in 2020, the award received its highest number of entries. The quality was exceptional, according to officials, highlighting the ingenuity of young inventors. So you're wondering, is James Dyson that same guy who's the Dyson vacuum cleaner guy? Yes, he is. He's an inventor. He's British, industrial and designer, landowner and entrepreneur. He founded Dyson Limited and is the inventor of the dual cyclone bagless vacuum cleaner. And you've probably seen the ads. He has a really cool accent. And it works on the principle of cyclonic separation. He said in a prepared statement, "Unfortunately, I have witnessed firsthand the harrowing effects of cancer, and as scientists and engineers, we should do anything we can to overcome this terrible disease." Judith is using hardware, software, and artificial intelligence together in an impressive way to create a well-designed product that could make cancer screening part of everyday life. The data that the Blue Box collects and stores in the cloud will provide insight that can enable more precise treatment and expand global knowledge of cancer. He said she deserves all the support she can get as she navigates the highly complex system of medical approvals. So who won the other first place award? There were two of them. Young lady, Judith Guiraud-Binet, won a very well-deserved $35,000 for a cancer screening device that is both useful and can save lives and keep medical costs and hospital stays down, but it's also kind of fascinating how it works. The other winner was from the Philippines, also somebody with a really cool name. Isn't it interesting that people who are not American always seem to have really nice names? And, you know, when you talk about technology and science, there are people often from other countries, and for some reason their names fascinate me. But as I mentioned, I'm a bit of a wordsmith, so not surprising. I just love language. 27-year-old Carve Aaron Maigu is from Mapua University in Manila in the Philippines. 27-year-old gentleman invented the Aureus, A-U-R-E-U-S, system technology, the first ever sustainability winner of the James Dyson Award. So you might ask, what is this device? It is a new material made from waste crop. The material converts ultraviolet light, like sunlight, into renewable energy. The two winners each receive 35,000 smackaroonies, that's dollars, to solve significant problems of global importance. The winners highlight women missing breast cancer screenings and sustainable methods to effectively generate renewable energy. This year, almost a third of a million women will be diagnosed with a form of breast cancer. Being able to test and test regularly for breast cancer is obviously very important. Many women skip testing. The cost can be over $170. The physical pain that a mammogram can bring is also a deterrent for women putting off testing. Now, Judith Binet's 23-year-old young lady who invented this Blue Box, it steps in to solve the problem, keeps costs down, and is not painful. It's non-invasive. It's a biomedical device, non-irradiating, and low cost, about $60. And it can be done in the privacy of the woman's home. It works in about half a minute, and the results are achieved through a simple urine sample. She said the name comes from the notion of having the world see it as a box that is blue and nothing else to eliminate fear and worry about cancer. The blue box uses six chemical sensors and reacts to targeted breast cancer biomarkers. The process uses a urine sample and an artificial intelligence algorithm to detect early signs of breast cancer. Once the algorithm has reached a diagnosis, the results are sent back to the user's phone and displayed in the Blue Box app. The app pairs with the Blue Box and serves as a transmission system to the cloud-based analysis. Apps available for iPhone and Android. It notifies the user about the results. Takes just a few minutes and, again, user-friendly, and it's private. Not invasive, and $60. Well worth it. It also is not a one-time use device. The model that this young lady has in mind is when the Blue Box gets on the market, women can buy it online. Again, privacy of your home to buy it, to order it, to use it, and to see the results. Other family members can use it as often as necessary at no additional cost. It will eliminate the current need for women seeking breast cancer screening to attend hospitals or medical facilities, especially important now with hospitals being overrun and having a lot of rules. Also, allows women to get a non-invasive and non-painful and reasonably priced procedure. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, 40% of women skip their breast cancer screening mammogram. Therefore, these 1 in 3 cases being detected late leads to a lower chance of survival. So again, this is fascinating, but can save lives and save costs, and also allows the process to be much more private. Device is not marketed yet, so there is no functioning cloud connection for public use. That'll come in the future. For now, this young lady is using urine samples collected at the hospital's research center in Spain. She set up a company in California called the Blue Box Biomedical Solution to prepare for the marketing efforts once development is completed. She was born in Spain and moved to California as a young design student. She continues to conduct research at both the California and Spain university facilities. Because of coronavirus restrictions, she's temporarily forced to stay in Spain. She said both locations have strong biomedical research centers, so each location will contribute to the development and marketing of the Blue Box. The next step is the trial studies, collecting samples in the hospital and verifying its accuracy. She must make sure that the device meets both European and United States FDA standards for approval before she can market it. The next few years are obviously very crucial. She and her team will work toward the final stages of prototyping and data analytics software at the University of California in Irvine. They are ready for human studies and clinical trials alongside vital patent filings. She said the Blue Box has the potential to make cancer screening a part of daily life. It can help to change the way society fights breast cancer to ensure that more women can avoid an advanced diagnosis. She added that the day that James Dyson told me I'd won the international prize was a real turning point, as the prize money will allow me to patent some more extensively and expedite research and software development that I'm doing at the University of California in Irvine. But most of all, hearing that he believes in my idea has given me the confidence I need at this vital point. Pretty cool, a 23-year-old university student developing a creative, non-invasive, inexpensive, easy-to-use breast cancer screening solution. My hat's off to her. And a person of high intelligence and creativity, and this very well could revolutionize part of the medical landscape. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH, 107.1 on your FM dial, and broadcasting online by the power and magic and splendiferousness of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Here on this program, we discuss technology news and quirky, unusual, lighter news stories, and an uplifting story we just went over. What else is going on in the world? Well, before I do that, I want to remind you to listen to the lovely Linda Sims, who graces our airwaves every Monday and Tuesday afternoon with Voice of a People and the chat. And in case you miss one of those fine programs, you can always go to the website, which is hosted, programmed, and curated, and all that good stuff by yours truly, WWGH1071.com. If you are not in the approximate Marion area, well, that's okay, because you can listen to this program online, again, via our website, WWGH1071.com. And if you have an Android or iPhone, and just about everybody I know does, well, you can download the app called TuneIn, and you can listen to the program by just clicking on the app, searching for WWGH, mark it as a favorite, click on the play button, listen to about a 20-second ad, and voila, you can go ahead and listen anywhere in the world with internet. How is that for major coolness? Let's go to Frankfurt, Germany. You know what? I was born in Frankfurt, Germany, or Frankfurt would be the Americanized version. My dad was in the military when I was born, and long, long, long time ago. So born on U.S. property at the Army base. Germany's changed quite a bit since I entered the world. Of course, there's no longer West Germany and East Germany. There's just Germany. That has certainly changed many things, and with the current world situation, that's changed things further. Of course, the leaders of the United States and of Germany not really being the best of friends, that's a different story. Let's talk about one of my favorite industries, the restaurant industry. Gotta love that German food. A lot of people of German ancestry here in mid-central and southern Ohio, and a lot of good German restaurants and German food, so this story certainly has some local impact. The owner of a restaurant in Frankfurt, Germany, is staging a protest against the coronavirus lockdown in Germany by filling his tables with 100 stuffed toy pandas in a play on the word pandemic. And there's someone after my own heart with a sense of humor, a wordsmith, somebody who's a bit of a wise guy. Gotta love it. We try to keep away from too much talk about coronavirus on this program, but if we do, we kind of look at it in an indirect manner. And as I say, laughter is the best medicine. It's the best way to get through things. It always helps me out. And we encourage you to laugh a little bit. Really does wonders. German officials are expected to extend the lockdown light, which they call it, until November 20th. It started on November 2nd. What does that mean? Something a lot stricter than we have here in Ohio. Bars, restaurants, and entertainment venues must stay closed. Shops and schools can be open. Giuseppe Fischera, manager of the restaurant Pino, said they are Panda Mike Pandas. He said, "We wanted to put some life back into our restaurant." Someone else with a really cool name, Giuseppe Fischera. The pandas are seated at the restaurant's tables and propped up at the bar, some with bottles of, you guessed it, Corona beer. He said it's a silent protest with a very dry sense of humor. Gotta love it. An offer to our guests. He said he'd keep the lights on all day and night as long as the lockdown lasts so passersby can enjoy the display. The German government has said it will extend financial aid for firms hit by the restrictions, which according to some sources could add up to almost $24 billion in December, in addition to $10 to $15 billion in November. So interesting story. A creative person trying to keep the level of negativity down by, as I say, understanding that laughter just is the best medicine, the best way to get through all the trials and tribulations in this thing that we call life. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, the person with a frequent wisecrack and an interesting tale to tell here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. Here's an idea for you, Well, it's a pretty dear idea, so I guess we can call it an idea. Become a supporter of my program. You will receive frequent mentions by me on this show, mentions during other times of the day. You'll be highlighted in our website and our Facebook page, and most of all, get our sincere gratitude. The cost is much less than you think it might be. So send me an email on our private email server, and unlike other private email servers, I read every single message. Nothing is deleted. We'd love to hear from you, even if you can only be a supporter during some days of the week or have limitations due to budget, because we know right now, holiday season, people have to budget due to the current goings-on in the world that we live in. But send me an email. Let's talk about it. Again, the cost is surprisingly low, and we have a lot of people that listen to this station, and all the shows are in the archives. Thousands are available on our website. You can email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. At the top of the hour, we have news anchored by our very own interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. And be sure to listen to that as we become quite a reliable news source here in the great city of Marion, Ohio. Turning to a lighter news story about a squirrel. Don't you hate squirrels? They're kind of they chew things, they kind of get in the way, and they really aren't cute like cats. Even snakes are sort of cute, despite their creepy nature. But, you know, squirrels, very few people would call a squirrel their favorite member of the animal kingdom. Well, this particular squirrel, which hung its hat. I'm not really sure a squirrel can hang a hat, but in a manner of speaking, this squirrel resided in the great state of Minnesota. It appeared to be drunk. Not only are squirrels annoying, well, it looks like they, like people, enjoy a cocktail or two. Katie Morlock said she fed a squirrel an old pear from a refrigerator, but realized later that the fruit had fermented into a snack with a high amount of alcohol. And the squirrel ate it. Because, you know, squirrels, they eat stuff from the garden. And this squirrel seemed to enjoy homemade pear liquor. Recent viral video shows the squirrel, which she named Lil Red, nearly keeling over after bellying up to the treat. Katie Morlock thought she was leaving out a safe snack for the squirrels. You know, she was trying to be nice to squirrels, despite how much many people dislike them, but Lil Red's apparent stupor and repeat business. I'm not sure if the squirrel's a guy or a girl, so we'll just say it. It, the squirrel, kept coming back for more of this alcoholic pear. She said, and then it kind of dawned on me. Oh no, those pears were so old. I bet they fermented. She lives in Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota. She told the local TV station, and then he got drunk. I guess it's a he. Or maybe she's assuming it's a he. And I did not mean to do that, so I went out and grabbed all the pears. She said this squirrel recovered with a little hangover breakfast. Sticking with stories about adult beverages, let's go a lot closer to where we hang our hats, to the great city of Cleveland. A positive story, but again, kind of a lighter side, which we kind of like. A customer left a $3,000 tip for a single beer as a restaurant voluntarily closed because of the COVID pandemic. The man walked in, ordered the beer, and asked for the check, which was $7.02. The man wished the owner of the establishment well and told him to share the tip with the four employees who were working brunch service. And as the man walked out, he realized that the tip was $3,000. This was Brendan Ring, the owner of Night Town in the great city of Cleveland. He ran after the very generous customer and said, "No mistake, we will see you when you reopen." Mr. Ring said he would not post the customer's name because he thinks a man wouldn't want that. The owner said he and his serving staff were humbly grateful for this incredibly kind and grand gesture. So, positive story, people being generous, the milk of human kindness, which I would say is probably, I know it is, though it's the best kind. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH, Radio The Talking Place, a station with unique content. We sometimes provide laughs, sometimes more serious stories, and no matter what you do, your brain cells and your ear will always thank you. You never quite know what's going to occur. And with the Christmas time rapidly approaching, you can be sure we've got a few things up our sleeve. Let's turn to a faraway area, Thailand. While on tour in central Thailand, British musician Paul Barton has been mobbed by unruly audiences that tug his hair, steal his music, and climb over his piano. He's a rock star to hundreds of hungry wild monkeys that he hopes his music can calm at a time when Thailand's coronavirus-induced tourism hiatus means fewer tourists to feed them and less funds for their welfare. He's 59 years old. He's lived in Thailand a long time. He said, "We need to make an effort to make sure that they eat properly, and when they eat properly, they will be calmer and will not be aggressive." He has played at four venues in Lop Buri, a province famous for its marauding monkeys, including at an ancient Hindu temple, a hardware store, and a derelict cinema. These macaques, again, M-A-C-A-Q-U-E-S, and the monkeys in question are instantly drawn as he plays Green Sleeves, Beethoven's Fur Elise, and Michael Nyman's Diary of Love. Some sharing his stool, others climbing onto his shoulders and touching his head. He maintains focus as a small monkey runs up and down the piano keys as others chew at his sheet music before one tries to take it away. He said that it was a wonderful opportunity to see the wild animals just being themselves. "I was surprised," he said, "to play the piano and find that they were actually eating the music as I was playing it. I wasn't going to let those things distract from the project, which is to play the music for these wonderful macaques." And that's a kind of monkey. Monkeys are his latest audience. He has played Bach, Schubert, Chopin, and Beethoven for more than a decade to elephants at retirement sanctuaries. I think animals other than Homo sapiens are a good audience, so I definitely know where he's coming from. He hopes to raise awareness of the monkey's hunger while also studying their behavioral responses to classical music. He said it's possible that the music can play a part of the rehabilitation process. So what else is going on in the great world that we live in? Sometimes the most interesting news stories are not in our backyard. Sometimes they are. Let's go to Asia. India has banned dozens more Chinese apps, drawing a rebuke from Beijing and further straining an already strained relationship between the two most populous countries in the world, India and China. Ji Rong, a spokesperson for China's embassy in India, said, "We firmly oppose the Indian side's repeated use of, quote, national security as an excuse to prohibit some mobile apps with Chinese background." That statement followed the Indian government's announcement that it was banning 43 more apps, many of which Chinese. Several apps from China's e-commerce giant Alibaba, they've been in the news quite a bit with their stock kind of going up and down. Also, shopping platform AliExpress, workplace messaging tool DingTalk, and streaming site Taobao Live. They're on the list. This action was taken based on the inputs regarding these apps for engaging in activities which are prejudicial to sovereignty and integrity of India. Defense of India, Security of State and Public Order. That comes from India's Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology. So what did the Chinese embassy have to say about this? They said Beijing is always required Chinese companies operating overseas to abide by international rules and comply with local laws. Indian officials have now banned more than 200 mostly Chinese apps, including the infamous video platform TikTok, in the last 5 months. Relations between India and China have been frayed since a deadly border clash in June. That incident, which left 20 Indian soldiers dead, was followed by calls for calm and de-escalation. But negotiations between Indian and Chinese officials failed to make progress, and the tensions have spilled over into the trading relationship. This relationship, as you can imagine, is worth a lot of money. More than $80 billion. Many Indians had called for a boycott of Chinese goods and services, particularly from China's dominant tech industry. Beijing again pushed back on the pressure campaign, calling on India to safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of international investors, including Chinese companies. The Indian side should immediately correct the discriminatory practice so as to not bring more damage to the cooperation between the two sides. That comes from a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry. Adam Lepp here with news from the world of technology, interesting and sometimes humorous anecdotes from the great world that we live in, and just like any show here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, always a surprise or two. Here's something I've not done in this program in a year or two. We are certainly due. Let's go ahead and pretend to be Casey Kasem, one of my childhood idols. His legacy lasts into my adulthood and beyond. Gonna count down the top 50 websites in the United States. You probably can guess most of the websites in the top five. Looking at the list, the top five is not surprising whatsoever. The exact order might be surprising, but the sites themselves are pretty much what you would expect. These are the most visited websites in the United States as of October 1st. Number 50, Xfinity.com, an internet provider. Receive email, news, and other good stuff. Number 49, this one probably has dropped a bit since we first started doing the countdown. USPS.com, the United States Postal Service. Here's one that's dropped a bit, dropped 10 points since the survey previous to this one, likely due to the economy. Realtor.com, AccuWeather.com, number 47, Fandom.com, 46. Here's one that seems to be slipping more and more, Microsoft.com, 45. If you guess that Facebook or Google are up there, maybe not number one, well, you're right, but Microsoft, way down at 45. Definition.org, here's one for people like myself who enjoy language, coming in at number 44. WellsFargo.com, banking site. I have Wells Fargo credit cards, so I do use that site from time to time. 43. The popular video game site Roblox.com, 42. Weather.com, another one that I like, 41. Hulu.com, where you can watch all kinds of cool television programs and movies, number 40. Another favorite of mine, an encyclopedia of movies and TV shows and celebrities, IMDb, 39. The Internet Movie Database, 38. HomeDepot.com. It did drop slightly from the most previous survey, but likely will go back up as we go full board into the holiday season. Target.com, 37. NY Times and New York Times, 36. MicrosoftOnline.com, 10 spaces higher than Microsoft.com for some strange reason, 35. Job search site Indeed.com, 34. PayPal.com, 33, holding steady from the previous survey, likely to increase as we go into the holiday season. Chase.com, the large banking site, 32. Foxnews.com, somewhat controversial right-leaning news website, 31, 30, Etsy.com, 29, if you have youngsters listening, cover your ears, please. It's xhamster.com, a site for people who are above 18. Or I guess if you are 18, that's okay also. xhamster.com, a site for, well, we won't go into it, but if you don't know what it is and you are of legal age, feel free to visit and you'll find out. MSN.com, 28. ESPN.com, 27. The alternative search engine, DuckDuckGo, quacking in at number 26. Bing.com, Microsoft's answer to Google, certainly not as popular as Google, number 25. CNN.com, the left-leaning news source, doing better than the right-leaning news source, FoxNews.com, which is at 31, CNN at 24. LinkedIn.com, kind of like a professional and job networking version of Facebook, 23. Pinterest.com, 22. Walmart.com, the huge retailer online and in-store, number 21. Netflix.com, number 20. Craigslist, 19. Live.com, where you can get your Microsoft mail at, 18. The popular real estate and valuation site for your property, Zillow.com, one of my favorites, 17. Kind of surprised that's as high as it is, but it's a good site. I use it quite a bit. Discord.com, 16. Really not even familiar with that one, but it's 16. Office.com, a big Microsoft site for their office software that just about everybody, including myself, uses every day. 15. Zoom.us, number 14. I bet they were much lower earlier in the year, but Zoom is at 14. Two sites that, again, if you are under 18, you probably should go take a potty break right now. XNXX.com and XVideos.com, 13 and 12, respectively. eBay.com, 11. Reddit.com, 10. Let's get to 1 through 9. We're not finished yet with the sites for adults. But what is the biggest adult site? Well, Pornhub.com, number 9. How about that? Microsoft is 25. Pornhub.com is 9. Even the U.S. Post Office is 45. I guess that's where people's minds are, but that's okay. No comment from the peanut gallery. Wikipedia.com, number 8. Instagram, 7. Yahoo, 6. Twitter is 5. So, of course, the remaining sites. We're counting down, as of October 1st, the top 50 websites in the United States. Obviously, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and YouTube are 1 through 4. What do you think the order is? What do you think is number 1? Well, number 1 is Google. Number 2 is YouTube. 3 is Facebook, 4 is Amazon, and 5 is Twitter. How about that? Will Twitter drop after Donald Trump is no longer president? We shall see. So not a big surprise. Personally, I would think Facebook would be 2 and Google 1, but YouTube is 2. Lots of videos and other things to watch. So maybe that's the reason. Facebook is 3, Amazon is 4. That may also increase a bit as we go more into the holiday season. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with the Adam the Computer Guy radio program and mid-morning coffee break, where we talk about all kinds of interesting stuff, sometimes controversial, often surprising, and no matter what we do here, your brain and your brain cells and your ears will be very, very thankful. Heading into the home stretch of this program, if you'd like to be a guest on this program, we can certainly arrange that. I'd love to have you. You don't have to agree with me. You can think I'm crazy. We can still talk because that gets the dialogue going. Again, send me an email on our private email server, which is, again, curated and hosted and otherwise worked on by yours truly. The address is adam at wwgh1071.com. Last but not least, in the interesting and surprising news department, let's talk about the supermodel Kendall Jenner. She stopped by the Sibling Revelry podcast recently, hosted by her famous siblings, Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson, and revealed something she says no one knows about. So, what did she say? She said, "I'm a stoner," which means that she enjoys marijuana. She said, as one of the more private members of the Kardashian-Jenner family, no one knows it. So that's the first time I've ever really said anything about it. So she, it's like a lot of people do, doesn't really talk much to her family, but we'll go ahead and reveal this revelation in a podcast that likely will become the talk of the town. Kendall, who appeared on the podcast alongside older sister Courtney, also added that while people might think they know the family well thanks to the reality show Keeping Up with the Kardashians, there are still, quote, so many things wrong about how the public perceives them, whether that's people thinking the reality stars call the paparazzi on themselves or manipulate situations to make their reality show more interesting. There's that meme, the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. People really think we sit here and calculate all these things, but it's genuinely why we have a show. There's craziness all the time, and it's just not even planned. It's just why our show became so successful. So you never quite know what's behind all the makeup, the smiling faces, and the fancy-dancy clothing. I guess I'm not as interesting as they are, but if you find me interesting, I really want to thank you. Please do listen to this program Monday morning, 10:13 a.m. until 11 Eastern Time, and Tuesday and Thursday in the p.m., 2:13 to 3, for your listening pleasure. Once again, I invite you to visit our website to hear archives of this program and everything that we've pretty much broadcast in the last 4 or 5 years since I joined the WWGH team, WWGH1071.com. Adam Lepp here, thanking you again for listening. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Feel free to send me an email. I love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question in my server serving me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
See you later, alligator. She told me, nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me, nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. I said, wait a minute, get it. I know you mean it just for play. I said, wait a minute, get it. I know you mean it just for play. play.